Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Everyone grab a seat. Welcome again to church. It's fantastic. Thank you, my love. You're at church. If you didn't realize, whoops, where am I? I thought I was going to McDonald's. Then this is where you are. You're at church. Well done. I think I say this a lot, but I really believe that life is built a lot on the decisions that we make, and coming to church is a good decision. So you made a good decision this morning to get into the house of God. It is good to be here. It is good to be with His people and our family as we worship Him, as we hear from His word. Amen. So well done. It is great to have everybody here. I'm going to pray before we get into it. God, thank you so much for your presence here with us. Thank you that you are going to speak to us this morning, that you've given us a word, and God, that as we read your word, that you would just reveal something into our hearts. I pray that each and every one of us would leave this morning with something fresh from you, some confidence, some courage to go into our week, that your spirit would just speak. God, that you would just use me for your glory this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, it's been a really good series. We've been in this Christianity 101, which has been really fun, and I've really enjoyed it, and we've looked at all sorts of things. We talked about how it starts with salvation. We talked about worship and the word and prayer and fellowship and service. Yeah, everyone remember all of these things? And these are just like fundamentals of what it means to be a Christian, hence 101. This is like if you're going to go and study being a Christian, this is what we would start with. These would be the first, however, half a dozen subjects, that first session, whatever it is Christianity 101. And so we're going to continue that this morning, and we're going to talk about a different 101 topic, and the topic today is mission. Good. Christianity 101, mission. We are all called on mission. As a Christian, it is not about just, you know, sitting in church and just having a good time, but we are called to make disciples of all nations, amen? And it is as foundational to who we are as followers of Jesus as reading the Bible, as praying, as fellowshipping in church, amen? Yeah? Yeah, a few people agree with me. I think sometimes we come to mission and we think about reaching the lost and sharing with our friends and helping our friends to discover the grace of God. And we think, well, surely that's 201 or 301, or maybe that's a master's level subject. Yeah? No? That's got to be at least worth 8 credit points. I don't know, you know, people who are at uni get that. Whatever. All right. You know, we look at it and we think, yeah, okay, I understand. Reading my Bible, that seems 101. Yeah, I can handle that. You know, praying, yeah, that's kind of 101. I can deal with that. But mission, telling somebody about what Jesus has done for me, that seems really difficult. That seems like that should be harder, yeah? Now, anybody else, you with me on this? You understand, you agree, or you're just better than me? Maybe you're better than me, that's fair. So you can go and do it. Then. But, you know, I think sometimes we feel like it's this really difficult thing to be missional and to live on mission and to share with our friends the faith that we have, yeah? And so we think it's this high-level thing and we leave it to the professionals. And we're like, oh, I'm not an evangelist. That's not really my calling or my gifting. Well, sorry, it's everybody's calling and gifting. We're all called to do the work of an evangelist, so you just need to get over it. You know, Jesus in Matthew 28, he gets his disciples together and he's saying to them and he's saying to us, you know, all power has been given unto me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. And it is clear that this is our call, that this is what we are here to do, that when I make this decision to follow Jesus and I'm trying to work that out, that a fundamental part of that is my mission to make disciples of all nations. Amen? Yep. Amen? Yeah. Good. And so we are not able to leave it to the professional. We are not able to leave it to somebody else. We are not able to put it at the back and think, well, once I've done 101, I'll might move on to second year and then I'll start thinking about mission. But we need to address it in our hearts and in our lives today. And it needs to be something, I think, that is so core to who we are as followers of Jesus that it is as natural for me as picking up the Bible and reading it. Amen? And so this morning, that's what I want to talk about, yeah? How we are all called to make disciples and how we can do that. I think we find it difficult often because we kind of see it as this like sales pitch thing. Anybody? You know, every now and then people will come knocking on our doors or our neighbor's doors. Actually, they don't knock on our door that often. I'm not sure why. I'm happy. But you know, there's this, and the guy next door, and I don't know what he did, there's J-Dubs or something that are talking to him, and he must have seemed interested because they keep coming back and having these really long conversations with him. And I think the reason that we are off put by mission or sharing our faith is because that's the mentality that we have towards it. It's like, oh, I've got to put on the sales pitch, and I hate being a salesman. Everybody hates being a salesman. You know, it's not nice to do, yeah? You don't like it when somebody knocks on your door and tries to sell you something, yeah? And so that's fair enough. We get to this thing, well, if that's what it means to share my faith, then I don't want to do it because I don't like it and I feel uncomfortable and it's difficult and it feels awkward and I feel like I'm trying to con somebody and all of that, yeah? But that's not what it means to share our faith. That's not what it means to be missional in my friendships. That's not what it means to be a light for Jesus in my workplace, yeah? That's not what it means to be a Christian that is open and living a life that shows the grace of God, yeah? We are not called to put in the sales pitch, but we are called to come alongside our friends. And I was reading this thing on sailing the boats, not selling. You get the difference. I was wanting to make sure that was clear. This week, and one of the basics of sailing, I don't sail, I just was interested, okay, is this thing called coming alongside. And if you're learning how to sail a boat, this is like one of the fundamental things to learn is how to come alongside. So it means like how do you get your boat to come up next to another boat or a dock or a person or whatever it is without running into the thing or, you know, all that sort of thing, yeah? Come alongside. And when you're in a sailboat, it actually takes skill because you've got to, like, I don't know, I couldn't understand half of what I was reading, all these different port and starboard and the sail height and blah, blah. But you've got to learn how to come alongside. And I was really interested in it because I think it's really similar to how we are called to live out our lives as Christians, that we would come alongside our friends and help them. You know, the reason that a sailboat would have to come alongside is maybe it needs to be towed. Maybe someone has fallen overboard and they need to be rescued, yeah? And so it's important and it's foundational to sailing. And it's a thing that if you can't do that, then you can't really be a sailor, yeah? And I think it's the same for us as Christians. If we can't learn to come alongside, then we can't do what we're called to do, yeah? And coming alongside just means that's making a disciple, yeah? That's coming beside my friend and sharing my life with them and helping in whatever need they have and all of those things. And I think Jesus was so good at this. But the reason that we struggle is because we still are seeing it like this sales mentality. And there's this real interesting contrast, I think, in the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament in terms of how people are told about God. Now, the Old Testament mentality is like Jonah, and God says, Jonah, go to Nineveh and tell them that they're all going to burn if they don't repent. Yeah? Go and proclaim it in the street and tell them. And you know, and he does, and they do. Like, they all repent, and it's amazing. And so for some reason, we think that's what I'm supposed to do. And that being on mission means that I've got to go to work tomorrow morning and stand in the lunchroom and say, Jesus is coming. What are you doing? You know, no? You can do that if you want. Tell us how it goes. Maybe get someone to film it. We'll put it on YouTube. It'll probably go viral. It's probably already on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it. You know, and so that's kind of how we see it. But Jesus is this total opposite to that, where he makes a disciple. And his statement to people is not, you better repent or it's all going bad, but it is, come follow me. Yeah? And it is an invitation. You know, we're called to make disciples, not to make judgments. Yeah? And so we need to come with this invitation in our heart that is like saying to my friend, why don't you follow me as I follow Jesus, like Paul says, yeah? Why don't I come alongside and I want to help you in your life to discover the grace that God has for you? Because as a Christian, I know that he has forgiven me and he has saved me and he has freed me. And that is so real in my life that if I love my friend, I can't help but share that with them. Yeah? Because if I actually care about them, then I care about their eternity. Amen? That's why God cares about mission so much, because he actually loves people. Yeah? Have you thought about it that way? Like the reason that this is so important is because God loves every single person and so many people don't know him. That Jesus died for every single person, but so many people don't have a clue. So it is so crucial. But I think we need to understand that the way that we live missionally, the way that we share our faith, it needs to be this follow me as I follow Jesus attitude, yeah? So how do we do that? I want to look at a story this morning. So if you've got your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 18. We're going to hang out here. We're going to read about this story, and it's the story of the rich young ruler. Starts in verse 18, and I really am interested in this passage, especially in this context and with this subject, because this is kind of a fail for Jesus. If you know the story, the rich young ruler does not repent and get saved, yeah? He walks away from Jesus, and that's really interesting to me. Okay, and I'll get to that more in a second. But what I'm really interested in is that Jesus doesn't come at this with the mentality that I think we often come to mission with. He doesn't come to it with this, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do that, but he addresses it so differently, yeah? And I want to kind of talk about that. So let's have a look at the story, yeah? It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now, this is like the gimme question, yeah? Like if I was being like, you know, telling my friend about church and sharing about Jesus and living that life, and then my friend just out of the blue, I'm sitting down at lunch at work and he comes and says, Andrew, you're a Christian, yeah? You believe in God. What do I need to do to have eternal life? Like, has anybody ever, like, that never happens to me. If that happens to you, fantastic, but that never happens to me. But Jesus is there and this guy comes and it's like, here is like just the sitter, yeah, of evangelistic questions. You with me still on this, yeah? You know, this is a little top edge to bat pad, you know, or something. You know, I'm really just excited that cricket is on again. It's great to see. I'm really surprised and pleased that we won. So we'll see how we go today. But anyway, you know, this is like the sitter that you shouldn't drop. Someone comes to you and just says, what do I need to do to become a Christian? Please. That has never happened to me in my entire life, and I don't know if it ever will. Hopefully, maybe, who knows. But what's really interesting is that Jesus kind of drops the catch. You know, can you stay with me on this? It's not too weird. It's not too heretical. It'll come back around. It's okay. As long as you don't switch off now, you'll be all right at the end, okay? So stay with me. Jesus treats this guy so differently to how I would treat this situation. You know, if someone asked me this question, I'm sure I would, you know, go into the 10 steps or whatever, you know, and we would go, yeah, well, you need to do this and this, and it's fantastic and amazing, and why don't you come with me to church on Sunday? And you know, all of that, and that's great, yeah? But that's not how Jesus treats this guy. And I think what's really fantastic about it is that Jesus does it so differently but so perfectly to really get at the heart issue in this guy's life and to really give him the right question and the right challenge so that he could have the possibility of not just, oh, I'll attend a church service, but being a follower of Jesus. And my goal, if there is a goal in mission, is not that my friend would come to church and that I would tick off a box saying that I did some evangelism, because that's gross, yeah? Think about it for a second. That's really awful. But that my friend would discover the grace of God and fall in love with Jesus and follow him for the rest of their life. and have eternity with him in heaven and find the same love and the same peace and the same power that I have found in Jesus. And if all I do is give the pat answers and the sales pitch, then I'm really making it hard for them to do that. Yeah? Is that all right? So Jesus is good. Like, I'm not saying he did the wrong thing. I'm saying, you know, if this was our evangelism class, he would be failing. Yeah? You with that? You understand? Okay. So that was where was that? In what must I do? Okay. So why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All of these things I have kept since I was a boy, he said. This guy is a good guy. Yeah. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. Yeah. He says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus replies, what is impossible with God, with man is possible with God. Amen. This is a really, really interesting story because I think Jesus deals with it so differently to how we would, but teaches us so much about what it means to be missional in our faith, yeah? And so much about what it really means to engage with people who don't know God and to share our real faith with our friends and to really help our friends discover God's grace. And we've been saying this a lot because it's really like become a bit of a catchphrase, I guess, but that we would help our friends discover the grace of God. I think it's really powerful because there are so many layers of meaning in that, so you can go and work that out for yourself. But it's so different to our normal approach, but it is so powerful. And so I want to highlight just a few things that Jesus does differently that I think we can learn from. And this is like as Christianity 101, being on mission that we can do tomorrow, this week, in our lives. Amen? So first thing, let's live an open life. Now don't hide your faith from the people around you. I'm really interested in this story that the guy comes to Jesus and he's like, good teacher. You know, he knows that there's something about Jesus, yeah? He has seen Jesus hanging out, preaching, healing, doing stuff. He knows that there is something about him that means that he can come to him with this question, yeah? And we need to live lives where people can come to us with the question, yeah? Like, if I'm like the closet Christian at work, then nobody's going to come and say, well, Andrew, what must I do to receive eternal life? You know, but if I'm living out this genuine faith and this genuine relationship with God, then I open the door for people to ask that question. Now, I'm not saying you should just like, you know, put on the show and the sticker on your car is enough. Like, that's great. That's fine. Do that. But I mean a real genuine faith and walk with God where my friends see that I'm a real Christian. Not that I just go to church, but really there doesn't seem to be anything different about me. Not that I put on this perfect show and so people think that Christianity is something that is unattainable because they need to do something. We'll get there in a minute, but that's what this guy thought. But this real life where I share my struggles and my failures, where they see me living day to day, but they see me doing it in the power and the strength and the grace of Jesus. And when I can live out this authentic Christian life, so that's all the other 101s, yeah? I'm praying, I'm reading the word, I'm in fellowship, I love church, yeah? There's no greater testimony than I had a great day on Sunday because I went to church. Like, there's nothing as confusing as that to our friends that don't know Jesus because it messes with the whole image of church and what it is, yeah? So let's live it out. Let's be real with it, yeah? When I have this real prayer life, which means that sometimes I get a bit weird with my friends because I'm like, well, you know, can I pray for you when they share that there's something hard in their life? You know, most people won't say no. You know, like where I'm serving and committed to my community of faith, my local church, our church together, so that my friend goes, man, you guys do so many good things. You're always doing something interesting. I see like on your Facebook that you were at the community kitchen doing that. That's really cool. What is that about? You get it? Like that we have this real enough and obvious enough Christian life that's not a fake one, not a perfect one, but just a real one. That becomes open enough that people would see that there's something different. Jesus is walking around and he is healing the sick and he is teaching people and amazing things are happening. And so this guy has this question in his heart, yeah, because everybody has a question in their heart. He had this question in his heart, but he feels like he can come to Jesus with it because good teacher, yeah. And so I think like to start, let's live an open life. Let's live a life where people know that I have a real relationship with God, that I'm in love with him, that I am about his purpose, that I genuinely love people because he loved me first. You know, that people would see that in my life. They wouldn't see a religious Christian, but they would see a real follower of Jesus. Because when I do that, it opens me up. And so the next thing is then to be ready for the question. Jesus is there. And he has opened it up and he is ready for this guy, like well ready. You know, he's been waiting. I don't know, maybe he was waiting. You know, this is Jesus, I'm sure, and a lot of prophetic gifting and he was waiting for this guy to come and talk to him. But let's be ready for the question, yeah? Let's be ready for the questions that our friends might ask. Let's be ready, you know, with the word in our heart so that we're ready to answer the question. You know, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Yeah. That we would know the word, that we would be in relationship with God, that we would have the Holy Spirit in our hearts, that we would have sensitivity enough to hear what he's saying to us when the question is asked. And the question might not be the question that we were expecting. You know, often it's not, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But we need to listen for the question and listen for the felt need. Now, Jesus does this so well in this situation because if someone came to me and asked me, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I would have the spiel, yeah? I have it ready. No, I don't really, but you know what I mean. You know, we'd be like, whoa, that's too exciting. That's you know, is this just me or are you with me on that? Yeah, okay. But Jesus really, really listens to him when this guy says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus understands straight away that he is asking this works-based question where he's saying, I have followed all the rules. I am a good person. Therefore, I must be okay, yeah? Because really what he's saying to Jesus is, I've got eternal life. Yeah, I'm just checking. Yeah? Is that, you read that with me? You see that in the text? Like he's coming to Jesus because he sees there's something about Jesus, but he really thinks he's all right. And he's like, well, Jesus, I'm just going to check. I've done all of this stuff. And Jesus lists off the list and he's like, sweet, I've done all the things. Yeah. What must I do? And Jesus says, well, I'll answer your question because I'm listening to you. Do you honor your father and mother? You don't steal, you don't murder, etc., etc. He lists off the law. And the guy's like, yeah, since I was a kid, I've done all of this stuff. I'm a good guy. Does that mean I get to inherit eternal life? And Jesus listens to his question, but then delves deeper with his answer. Yeah, and that is key for us, I think. That I would always be looking for the deeper in that conversation, always looking for the next thing. That I would really genuinely listen to the need that is in my friend's heart. You know, not that I would just be like, oh, well, you should just come to church. Like, that's great, invite everyone to church. You know, church is for everybody all the time, and it's awesome when people come. You know, I like meeting new people. It's great to have friends. Let's everyone just come to church. It's good. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying you shouldn't invite your friend to church. You should. But let's really listen to the questions, yeah? Let's really start to identify what's the thing that they're really asking. What's the need in my friend's life? When he comes and says to me, oh, you're a Christian, yeah? What do you think about this? Like, what is he actually asking me? What are they actually asking? What is the thing that's there? And that's what Jesus does. And that's kind of the third thought that we would need. We need to look for the heart. Yeah. So we live this open life. So we create a space for our friends to come and ask the question. And then we're ready for the question. We know the word. We know. We listen to what they're saying. We listen to the Spirit. But then we need to look for the heart. And this is where Jesus just kind of smashes it. Yeah. and does so well because he's Jesus and he's perfect. But he says, all right, well, then you still lack one thing. Go and sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And Jesus addresses the heart issue that he saw in this guy's life and gives him this genuine opportunity to follow him. Yeah, because that's the invitation that I want to give to my friend. And if I'm going to live a missional life, if that's going to be part of who I am as a Christian, then the invitation I want to give to my friend is that they would follow Jesus. Yeah? Is that right? The thing that I would say to my friend is not, this is the list of rules, because sometimes that's what we do. And we think the same thing. Well, I'm going to church and I'm reading my Bible and I don't sin too badly, because that's a thing. So I must be all right. And if you want to be part of our Christian club, then you should do that too. Yeah? No, that's not how it works. That's not what it means to be missional and to share our faith with our friends. What it means is to say, what is the heart issue that is stopping you from following Jesus with all of your life? And if I can look into my friend's heart and care deeply enough about them to actually address the heart issue, then I give them a real opportunity to respond to Jesus and to respond to his grace, yeah? I give them a genuine chance at a lifetime of following Jesus, because it is not up to me, it is up to them and it is up to God, but all I can do is give them a real chance, and by listening and looking for the heart, I give someone a real chance, yeah? That I would look for the heart, that I would be sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, that I would discern what's going on in my friend's life, that I would care enough about them, that I've been listening over time, and I know, you know, what's happening in their marriage, what's happening with their kids, you know, what's happening at work, are they happy, are they not happy, you know, what's the situation that they're facing, you know, all of those things, yeah, that I would listen enough that I can see into the heart and I can address it. And then I can do what Jesus does and say, well, sell everything you have. You know, that's not everybody's thing that's stopping them, but Jesus identifies what's stopping this guy from following him, and he says, it's because you're in love with your money. You need to be in love with God. You know, so get rid of it all, and it won't be an issue anymore, yeah? And that's the challenge. That's the big question for people that often we don't ask. I don't know, we're afraid, it's difficult, it's awkward, we don't listen enough. But if I really care, if I really want to see my friend discover the grace of God, then I'm going to look for the heart issue every time. And that's the question I'm going to ask. And I don't know, I can't say I guarantee it, but I'm pretty sure that if you would do that with your friend, then they're not going to argue with you about some silly Christian thing. But they're going to respond with a heart response, because you've asked the heart question. You know, when we ask the head question, we get the head response. And I used to do it a lot in high school and still at uni, and I would argue with people about God. Like, I can argue with people about God. If you want, we can do that and it'll be fine. I'll enjoy it. And neither of us will go away with anything better. You know, I was good at that. But I got to a point where I realized that it's pretty useless. If I can convince somebody of God, then somebody else will come along and convince them out of it. I'm not that persuasive. I'm not a perfect person that can convince everybody, and so then they should follow Jesus, because then what they're doing is not following Jesus, but they're following my idea of Jesus that I said was good, and they're doing that until somebody else comes along with a better idea, yeah? You with me on that? But if I can get to the heart and I can say, what is the thing that is stopping you from giving your life to God? If we can address that, then you'll have a real chance. Then that's totally different. And it opens up a whole new, different thing. Amen? So let's live an open life. Let's be ready for the question. Let's look for the heart. And then finally, let's not be afraid to fail. The reason that I really love this story and that I wanted to share it is because this guy doesn't get saved. He doesn't follow Jesus. And I want to let us off the hook a little bit on this. Is that all right? Of course that's all right. Love being let off the hook. I'm not letting you off the hook of doing something. I'm letting you off the hook of it being your responsibility whether your friend decides to follow Jesus or not. It is not our job. Even this guy walked away from Jesus himself. Yeah? You know, I'm sure he knew what was going on. Good teacher, what must I do? He sees it in Jesus. He knows who he is. He understands what's being asked of him. Yeah? He's not stupid. He's obviously a capable person. Jesus gives him the opportunity and he walks away. So let's just relax a bit and realize that it's not up to us and not be afraid to fail. Because you can't fail when you share your faith. You can't fail when you share with someone what God has done in your life. How are you failing? Like, what is a failure in that context? But because I've seen my job and my call as living on mission as a Christian as to give the sales pitch and hopefully get the return, then I'm failing every time somebody says no. And so then I stop because I hate failing, yeah? I don't like to lose. And so I stop trying because I feel like I'm losing, but you never lose. If you'd leave with anything today, can you leave with, I can't fail? Because it is not up to me. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus says to his disciples and he says to us, he says, all power and authority under heaven has been given to me, to Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples. And whenever there's a therefore, you look at what's before it because it's dependent on what's before it. And so my ability to make disciples of all nations is dependent on the power that Jesus has, not the power that I have. And then he says, and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, it is, again, not up to you. Don't baptize people in your name, because that's what happens when I try and convince somebody. But make disciples in my power, in my name. And then what do we need to do? Teach them to obey God. So in no place, in no point in the commission is Jesus saying it is up to me. At all. So we can kind of relax a bit and be free to share our faith because it's not up to me the decision that my friend makes. Yeah? It is not up to me. God is at work. He is opening people's hearts. They have to make a decision. It is not my responsibility. And so I can be free to share without worrying, yeah? I want to finish with a story. If you were here last Sunday night, then you've heard it already, but you can listen anyway. I went to my 10-year school reunion last Saturday night, not last night, the one before. And it was really, really interesting, and it was fun. But I ran into this guy at school that I hadn't seen since we finished school. We weren't very good friends. We weren't close. And he comes up to me and he says, Andrew, hey, I don't know, that's not how he talks, but, you know, he says, do you remember that time when you told me that I was going to go to hell? It's a true story. And I was like, yeah, I was thinking about it because I thought I might see you here. So what had happened, backstory, we were in class one day and this guy was, oh, you know, he's fine, but you know, some people are just a bit antagonistic. So he knows I'm a Christian. He knows what I believe. And so he just goes, Andrew, do you believe that if I don't believe in Jesus, that I'm going to hell? I'm like, what am I going to say to that? Yes. Thanks for putting us in this situation, man. That's really good. That's really helpful. So anyway, that was the story. So he comes up to me and he says, do you remember when you told me that I was going to hell? I was like, of course I remember. And he says, do you still think that? And, you know, I'm more diplomatic than I was when I was 16 or 17. And I just said, look, man, it's up to you. You got to make a decision for your own faith. He said, I still believe the same things. I still believe in Jesus, but you've got to make a decision for yourself. And he says, you know, I think about that all the time. It's 10 years. I haven't seen him in 10 years. He says, every time I go to do something bad, every time, you know, I'm thinking the wrong thing, I think about you in high school telling me that I was going to go to hell. And, you know, I'm not saying that's what you should say, and that's kind of the opposite of what I've just said. But all of this to say, you can't fail. Because I said probably the wrong thing was very earnest, very zealous, you know, and I was standing up for my faith, and I recommend you do it. But you don't know the impact that your life will have on somebody. That 10 years later, and he says to me, because, you know, he knows what I'm doing, we're talking about that. He said, you can tell people this story. This is what he said. Because I wanted to encourage you. Like, he doesn't know God. He says, I'm still an atheist. But you can tell people this story, so it's all right. You know, I can tell you the story. Because he's like, don't give up. You know, he's saying this to me. Like, I was like, what is going on here? You know, anyway. And he said that he just like appreciated that I would stand up for my faith. And he appreciates, he's a police officer now, and he says he appreciates the work that the church does in the community and the difference that it makes. And I was just blown away that this comment that, you know, it was an awkward situation in high school, but one where I'm so glad I had the courage to just stick to my convictions, is still impacting my friend 10 years later. So you can't fail. You can't say the wrong thing. We are called to make disciples. Let's come alongside our friends. Let's share our faith. Let's be real enough with our lives that people would see God in them. Let's look for the heart. Let's be ready for the questions. Amen. So that we can see more and more people know the grace of God. So that I can see my friend discover the grace of God. And I just pray for my friend from school that that would keep playing in his heart. And that one day he would discover the real grace of God. Amen. This is Christianity 101. Not 201, not 301. This is key. This is foundational to who we are as Christians. Amen. Let's pray, hey. God, thank you so much for your presence with us. Thank you that you are here this morning, that you are speaking to us through your word. God, give us courage to live real lives. Courage to live lives just following you in an open and real and transparent way, that people would know that they can come to us with the questions. Help us to listen. Help us to look for the heart. And God, help us to have the courage and not be afraid to fail. God, help us to know that anytime we share our faith, we can't lose. That it is not up to us, that it is up to you. God, that we can just relax and we can just be real about our faith to our friends and know that it is up to you to work in their heart and up to them to make a decision to follow you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. This morning, I want to close with an opportunity for you to follow Jesus. You know, we do this every week and I don't want anybody to miss out. You know, Jesus gave this rich young ruler this opportunity to follow him. And he gives us that exact same opportunity today, every day, where he says, you know, if you would believe in me, if you would confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you would be saved. It's not about what I do to inherit eternal life. It's about who I know, and it's about what Jesus did. Amen. So we're going to pray this prayer together. You're going to repeat it after me. But if you want to pray, if you just want to ask Jesus into your life for the first time or in a fresh way this morning, then you pray that. Everyone's going to pray together. We do things together. So you're not going to be embarrassed, but you pray it from your heart. And if you do, then come and chat to one of the team after or talk to the friend that brought you. So let's pray. Father God, thank you for your love for me. Thank you that Jesus died for me. I ask you to forgive me for my sin. And I give my life to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from City Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.